G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
The next few weeks I'm going to preach a three-part series on healing, and I've called it Faith for Healing. And so we're going to be looking at faith and with a specific view at how it operates with regard to healing. It's not because I'm not doing three parts because that's all I could think of to do it. It's just that there's lots of other things. Joy and I often, we spend hours just chatting about healing from the scriptures, just encouraging one another, things that we notice and see, and we've learned so much. Even since Joy got healed from cancer, we've just learned so much more. We look back then, you know, I think before she got healed of cancer, probably people would have looked at us and thought that we were a little bit advanced in our knowledge, but we felt, you know, we look back now, we just saw, wow, we were like hillbillies, you know. We had no shoes on our feet. There was mud coming out our toes, and we just felt like bogans, you know. Like, and I'm not saying we've arrived now, but we've learnt more, you know. And there's more. And I want to encourage you, you know, don't ever stop learning about healing. Hey, and part of that is because the devil's always looking for a new way to try to get you offside. He's always experimenting. He's always trying to get. You know, if headaches don't work with you, he'll see if maybe somehow he can bring some sort of symptom or some sort of pain in another area that'll get you fearful. You know, he'll try to find where your buttons are, and he'll try to find, you know, he does it with all of us. And so constantly learn and grow and develop in your faith for healing. Hey, you know, I've heard some people say, well, you know, if God wanted everyone healed, then everyone would be healed. Everyone's not healed, therefore God, it can't be God's will for everyone to be healed. But that's not right. Is it God's will for everyone to be saved? Yes. It is. The scriptures that talk about it, he's not willing that any should perish. That God wants all to come to repentance. So it's God's will for everyone to be saved, but is everyone saved? See, we can't use that measuring stick with one and not with others. You can't look and say, you can't bring a friend to church and they don't respond to the offer of salvation, right? And if they don't respond, you can't say, well, I guess it wasn't God's will for him to be saved. No. He wasn't ready to receive. For one reason or another, he wasn't in a place to receive what God had already offered and has offered for thousands of years. And it's exactly the same with healing. Just because someone is failing to receive healing or has failed to receive healing doesn't mean that it's not God's will for them to be healed. They're just failing to receive. For one reason or another, something isn't in the proper place and that healing's not coming through. And so you need to be careful about allowing your experiences to dictate to you what truth is. Truth comes from the Word, is that right?
That's right.
Doesn't come from your experience. And if you start using your experience to be the indicator of truth, you're going to get yourself into trouble. I remember when I was in Bible college, there was a lecturer. We found out, this was a Pentecostal Bible college, but we found out one of the lecturers wasn't filled with the Spirit. We were shocked that he wasn't filled with the Spirit. But I remember when there was a couple of us that we had got to know him and stuff, and so there was a time, opportunity, we got to speak with him, and we said, why aren't you filled with the Spirit? Don't you want it? And he goes, I just don't believe it's for everyone. And we were like, even more shocked. We thought, what? You're in a Pentecostal college. That's what we preach, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you don't believe it's for everyone and stuff. And when it came down to it, he admitted to a couple of us that in essence, he had failed to receive. There was a point in his life where he really wanted it. And he failed to receive it. And he said, therefore, it can't be for everyone. Don't you be like that. You know, don't allow your experience to dictate to you. Maybe you had a prayer failure. Maybe you were believing God for something and it didn't manifest the way you thought or in the time that you thought. Don't allow that to dictate to you what is truth. You look at the Word of God and always use that as your benchmark. Always use that as your standard. That's truth. And if my experience doesn't line up with the Word of God, well, guess what? I'm going to stay with the truth and my experience will line up with the Word of God. That's what you got to do. And certainly that's the way that Joy and I have practiced it as well. Hey, so anyway, we're going to talk today. We're going to be talking about the nature of faith in receiving healing. And there's some good things. We've got things in store. Hey, so let me just do a little bit of groundwork. I don't want to do a big study on this, but I just want to get some understanding about what faith is and about the different types of faith. And then we're going to look at how faith works with regard to healing. Faith is basically being fully persuaded about something. In Romans 4:21, it talked about how Abraham was fully persuaded that what God said to him was true. So faith is being fully persuaded that what God says to you is true. What are the promises that God has made about your family or about your future? And right now you might be looking at some of those promises thinking, well, my situation does not resemble that at all. Again, what are you fully persuaded about and which one is truth? Is it what you're feeling and experiencing or is it what God promised you? Faith is being fully persuaded that what God said to you is true. Hey, or another way of saying it is faith is being fully persuaded that what God has given you is real. It might not be there, you might not be able to see it or feel it or touch it, but faith is being fully persuaded what God has given you is real, more real than anything you can see or feel. I remember when I was a young Christian, that was one of the first revelations I had. I hadn't been baptized in the Spirit for very long, I heard, well, I didn't realize that was God speaking to me, but I heard these words come up from my heart. And those words were, there is a world around you that you cannot see or feel, but it is far more real than anything you can see or feel. And I'd never heard of anything like that. And I thought, that's weird. That doesn't even make sense. So I just shrugged it off. Just thought, no, that's stupid. You know? And then like later that day, again, it just came up. There's a world around you cannot see or feel, but it is far more real than anything you can see or feel. I thought, that's so weird. That's so stupid. I can see this pulpit. I can feel it. I can feel the ground beneath me. You can feel the chair you're sitting on. How can something you can't see or feel be more real than that? That was the sort of thought process that was going on. And I don't want to go into all of it. I just want to talk about how faith is being fully persuaded that God has given you something, even if you can't see it or feel it. I realized after a few days, this kept coming up. And so, because I was extremely advanced and intelligent after several days of having that, I thought, I wonder if this is God. And so I prayed and I said, God, if this is you, then show me in the scriptures. That's the best thing you can do, hey. You get some weird thought or some vision or whatever, whether it's weird or whether it's glorious, line it up with the Word. And if it doesn't match the Word, then don't accept it. It doesn't matter if I'm saying it, doesn't matter if Kenneth Copeland is saying it, doesn't matter if Andrew Warmick is saying or Keith Moore, doesn't matter who says it, if it doesn't line up with the Word, doesn't matter if you see Jesus in a glorious vision. If what he's saying in that vision does not line up with the Word of God, you need to reject it. Oh, there's so much I could share along that, but I just want to get back. That God had spoken to me about this world that I couldn't see or feel that was far more real than anything I could see or feel. And he showed me in the scriptures. And you can look this up in your own time. I have sort of referred to it at different times, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, you can look that up and study that through yourself. That was the scripture that he used to show me that there is a world that's unseen and it's far more real than anything you can see. But faith is being fully persuaded that God has given you something even if you can't see it or feel it. Faith is being fully persuaded. Hey. Now, there are different types of faith, and you need to understand that. Some people think, oh, you know, if you've got faith, that's it. You've got faith. There is a faith for salvation or becoming a child of God, becoming born again. And you might have that faith. I reckon everybody here has got that faith. At some point, you exercise that faith and said, I believe Jesus is my Savior. And I'm making him my Lord. And as a result of that, you got transferred out of darkness into light, and he gave you the right to become a son of God. But just because you've got faith for salvation, you might have faith, like I was talking to my mum, I talked about that earlier, and I said to her, Mum, I know I'm going to heaven. I had faith for salvation. And you may have faith for salvation, but that doesn't mean that you've got faith for healing. Because that's a different type of faith. The faith, the principles of faith are the same, but the types of faith are different. You can use these principles that we're going to be talking about with regard to healing, you can use in salvation, in prosperity, you can use it in personal protection, you can use it in everything. But just because you've got faith in one area doesn't mean that you've necessarily got faith in other areas. A person who has faith for healing is someone who believes it's God's will for me to be well and healed and strong and whole and free of all infirmity and sickness. And they walk in the knowledge of that. Hey, regardless of what their body is saying, regardless of what the doctors are telling them. See, just because the doctor says something, that doesn't mean that's truth. It's only if it lines up with the word. When you go to the doctors, you go by faith. And you only accept what they tell you that lines up with the word. And if they tell you things that don't line up with the word, you don't have to make a big scene about it because doctors are doing the best they can. But when you go home, you begin to encourage yourself and just say, Lord, this is what the doctors have said, but your word says that you heal all of my diseases. And I choose to put my faith in that. I'm fully persuaded in your word, not in what the doctors have said. And some people have faith for healing. But just because you've got faith for healing doesn't mean that you've got faith for prosperity. It's a different type of faith. The principles are the same, but you need to develop each one separately. If you want faith for prosperity and God meeting your financial needs, study it out. What does the scriptures have to say? Put that as truth in your life, regardless of what your bank account says, regardless of the pile of bills that may be on your desk. Put that as truth. Put what the word has to say. Allow God to make that bigger and bigger in your eyes. And then you begin to develop faith for prosperity. You can develop, and you may have faith for prosperity, but that doesn't mean you have faith for protection. So I want you to understand that faith, there are different types of faith. And just because you're a believer doesn't mean that you believe or have faith developed in the area of healing. Just because you've got that developed doesn't mean you've got faith developed in the area of the prosperity. You want to develop these, and so you need to do some homework and look into it. Find some stuff. Look at people. Look at the fruit in their life. And if there's good fruit in their life and they're sharing things from the Word, start listening to it over and over. This is what I do, and I know there's some of you that do it as well, over and over. Who was I telling? Oh, I was telling someone just the other week, you know, like, Andrew Warmick, I've spent more time with Andrew Warmick than I think anybody else in Australia in the last few years. Because there was a revelation that he had that I wanted. Hey, we have met him, but like only once I've met him, yet I've spent more time with him because, man, there was a period of time, particularly from about 2012 through to 2015, some of his messages I've probably heard like 80, 90 times, and I've probably heard about 200 or 200 plus of different messages he's preached. Some of them, you know, I think every one of them I've heard multiple times. But if stuff is speaking to me, there's a revelation there and it's stirring me up, I'm spending time with that person. I'll listen to it over and over where I can stop what he's saying and just keep going. I can fill the gaps. That's how you develop faith. Faith comes by hearing, is that right?
Yes.
And hearing the word of God. Find people that have fruit in their life in that area and begin to listen to it over and over again. And you find whatever it is that you're listening to, you begin to develop faith in that area. Hey. So now we want to look particularly about faith for healing. Hey. And if we're looking at faith for healing, you can't go past Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate role model for the normal Christian life, but he's also the ultimate role model for ministering healing, I should say, and learning how healing works. I don't think there's been another person who's been more successful than Jesus in ministering healing. And we've got, you know, like hundreds of pages in our Bibles of written testimony, eyewitness testimony of things he said and things he did that give us insight into how he handled different cases to do with healing. So let me just, you don't need to turn to these, but I want to just, if he is the ultimate role model, let me show you the significance of faith for healing, just in mentioning a few examples. Hey. You can write these down if you're a note taker and look them up in your own time. But Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus ministered to the man whose son was a lunatic and was throwing himself in convulsions, this man was begging Jesus to do something, and Jesus said, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." So Jesus was trying to say to this guy, listen, if you believe, we could do this. Faith is significant for healing, is that right?
Yes.
The centurion, when he came and he said his servant was ill and he wanted Jesus to minister healing, and he sent word to Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. You just say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus, he stopped and he pointed out to everyone, he said, you see this guy? He's not even a Jew. He's not even part of the nation of Israel. I haven't seen such great faith like this guy in all the nation. And he turned and he sent a message. He said, go your way. He said, according to your faith, let it be done. As just as you've believed, let it be done for you. Remember the two blind men? One of my favorite stories. Hey, I know it's in Matthew. I'm not sure exactly where, but it's an awesome story. The two blind men. One blind man, how can the blind lead the blind? I'm picturing these guys, you know, and they're yelling out because they know Jesus. They've heard the commotion. Jesus is near, like, Jesus, have mercy on us. Somehow they tracked him to this house and they didn't ask permission. They just went into the house and felt around until they came and stood before Jesus. And then he said, what do you want? And he said to them, he said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Is faith significant for healing? Remember the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15? Jesus ignored her at the start. Disciples were saying to Jesus, just get rid of her. She's so annoying. Just tell her, go away. Finally, you know, this woman persists and persists. And finally, Jesus brought her to a place where she had faith to receive what she needed. And then he turned to her and he said, great is your faith, let it be to you as you desire. Jesus wasn't trying to play mind games with her. He just needed to bring her to a place where she could receive what she desired. And if you read and follow through that story, that's exactly what he did. The nobleman whose son was ill, he wanted Jesus to come with him. And Jesus said, you know, you think I've got to come with you and then it's going to happen? He said, go your way, your son lives. And then he had to make a decision. Was he going to believe that or not? But he chose to believe it. And because he believed, his son lived. Faith, what I'm trying to get at is faith is significant. It has a significant role in being able to receive healing. Jairus' daughter. Remember when he got word, it's too late. Jairus desperately went, tried to get Jesus, drag him back to his place. On the way there, Jesus got detoured. And then finally word came through from some of Jairus' servants and they said, it's too late. She's dead. Don't bother now. Don't bring him. And Jesus turned to Jairus. As soon as he heard what the servant was saying to Jairus, he turned to him and he said, don't be afraid. Only believe. Yeah, God will never ask you to do something that he won't provide for you the ability to do it. Yes, God will tell you to do things that are impossible, but he will provide the means by which you can do the impossible. And when he said to Jairus, he said, don't be afraid, only believe. It was critical Jairus make a decision to put his trust in what Jesus just said to him. Put yourself in his position. What would it must have been like? Can you imagine getting some horrific news that a person that means so much to you, that is so close, your daughter, and you've been threatened because you've been watching them decline in their health levels day after day after day, and then you hear this man who has power is coming to your town, and you get up at the crack of dawn and you're there by the Sea of Galilee, because you're figuring you've heard the news, he's coming. So you're waiting there, and then the crowds begin to build because others are hearing that this man is coming. And Jesus comes to the shore, and you just push your way through the crowd. And you fall to his feet. And you're saying, my daughter is desperately ill. She is at the point of dying. But you come and lay your hands on her, and she'll live. So imagine all of that. And Jesus has agreed. He said, all right, let's go. And he's probably thinking, oh, mate. Oh, this is so good. Can you imagine? I don't know if you can imagine. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you have fretted over something for a long period of time, and all of a sudden the answer's there. Can you imagine the emotional relief as he's just following Jesus going, oh, this is going to be so good. This is going to be so good. This is going to be so good. We need to pick up the pace, but this is going to be really good. Hey, this crowd wasn't there. We could get through a lot quicker, but oh, he's coming with me. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there. It's all right. We're getting there. And then Jesus stops because somebody touched him. And you're thinking like, what? Don't worry about who touched you. Let's just, in his mind, he's not saying it, but I'm sure he must have been thinking it. Come on. You can work out later who touched you. Let's just go. Anyway, this lady comes forward. We're going to read that in a few minutes. This lady comes forward and fesses up, yeah, it was me, I touched you. And she got healed, and Jesus gives her a hug and says, hey, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. I'm sure Jairus is thinking, okay, enough of the hug, let's go. Not cuddle time now, let's just go, 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 go. And just as he's thinking that, the servant comes and says, it's too late. She's just died. I know for me, probably, different people react in different ways. For me, I just would have been numb. Would have felt like time had just stopped. For some people, they can be overwhelmed with the emotion. People handle things in different ways. But I'm sure that at that moment, for every single person in a situation like Jairus was experiencing at that moment, that would have been the temptation to become overwhelmed with fear. That your worst possible nightmare, the thing that you never wanted to happen, has now just happened. And that's why Jesus turned around and he said, stop the fear. Only believe. Fear is an enemy of faith, hey? And I don't have time to go into that, but there is a series that I've preached, and it's a free download on the website about freedom from fear, hey? You can't have fear and faith operating at the same time because they are reciprocals of one another. If you have a lot of fear, then you have little faith. Hey. And there are ways to combat fear. And the best way to combat fear is what Jesus just said. Only believe. Just choose to believe what Jesus has said. So faith for healing is crucial in receiving healing. There are many, many stories. The 10 lepers, he said to them, your faith has made you whole. The blind Bartimaeus, he said to him, your faith has made you whole. The woman with the issue of blood, daughter, your faith has made you well. Jesus saw the paralytics when they lowered the paralytic and his friends, and he saw their faith. And that man received his healing. And so faith is crucial in receiving healing. There are cases where people have not had faith and have received healing, but they are the exception rather than the norm. And there are cases of that. That usually happens with the gifts of healing. And even a person who moves in the gifts of healing doesn't get to choose who he can heal and who he doesn't. It operates as the Lord wills. He has the gift of healing and he'll minister, and there could be 10 people there in life-threatening situations, and he'll move with the gifts of healing. Could be 8 or 9 of them get healed and one doesn't. And you ask those people who move in the gifts of healing, how come that one didn't get healed? They'll tell you. They'll all shrug their shoulders. But thank God for the gifts of healing. The gift of healing is put in place because some people are in a position where they can't develop their faith. And so they need a miracle. But God's desire for you and I is to develop our faith in healing, where we can receive it at any time. It's like there was somebody who visited our church last week and she got healed, her foot got healed. I think it was Aisha and Jenna's friend. And she went and she sought out what she called a faith healer and he healed her. That's wonderful. I rejoiced with her and I said, God wants you to be able to get that, just you and him. That you don't have to go running after somebody who moves in healing. Just receive it. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today and over the next couple of weeks. Developing your faith for healing. So let's have a look at Mark chapter 5. And verse 25. Give me an oi when you're there. Anyone there yet? Mark 5, verse 25. Now, a certain woman, this story actually slides in right in the middle of Jairus' story. And so you can read it in your own time. The verses leading up to this is Jairus convincing Jesus to come with him, and then the rest of the story is after this particular incident. But anyway, verse 25 says, now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, and she had spent all that she had had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing, and the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And so he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now I want you to go back 3 chapters to Mark chapter 2. We're going to read another incident. And we're going to use these two as a foundation to really look at the nature of faith with regard to healing. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, 4 men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Now, can you imagine that? Not even your house. You know, back then, houses were built into the sides of hills. So they got up, just climbed the hill a little bit further and got up onto the house and started digging. They were just determined they were going to get Frankie into that room. If the crowds weren't going to let him through the front door, they'll make a door and get him in. And verse 5, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, and so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven? Or is it easier to say, stand up and pick up your mat and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and he said, stand up, pick up your mat and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine how that must have been? Jesus saying, I'll prove it to you that I've got authority. I remember Apostle Garnett was like that, hey? Man, he used to inspire us. Got up in front of a church that was on the verge of splitting. His people wanted to do their own thing. He had a word of knowledge that somebody had a dislocated shoulder. And he said, there's someone here, you've had a dislocated shoulder for a long time. He said, come out. This guy came out. And the story was he had dislocated his shoulder in an accident a long time ago and it had been put back in place but just kept slipping out and was a constant problem for him. And Apostle Garnett turned to this man and then he turned to the crowd and he said, this man has a dislocated shoulder and because his shoulder is dislocated, he can't have use of his arm properly. He said, and there are people here who want to do their own thing and they are trying to undermine the authority of the pastor. And he said, but what you're doing is you are dislocating the body of Christ in this church because you're trying to do your own thing. You are not going to help this body. You are dislocating it and putting it in pain. And just like this man doesn't have full use of his body, so too with you who are usurping the pastor's authority. He said, you're not going to have full use. He said, you are creating pain and you are going to be less effective. And he said, and this man's healing will be a testimony that what I've said is true. And then he said to the guy, he said, lift up your arm. And his arm was instantly healed. And he had full use of his arm. There was a guy there from the Gold Coast local rag that was there because he had heard about this church that was on the verge of splitting. It was one of the biggest churches on the coast. The guy wrote it up in the papers about this man. Hey, that's authority. Hey, that's exciting. That's what Jesus was doing here. He was speaking to these guys who were just criticizing him. And he's saying that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Said to the guy, get up, take your mat, go home. So I want to talk about, from these stories, I want to talk about some things that we need to understand and realize about faith and how it works with healing. The first thing I want to say is that faith doesn't make God heal you. Your faith doesn't make God heal you. The woman with the issue of blood, when she touched the hem of his garment, it didn't make Jesus heal her. Jesus didn't feel power going out of him and he's going, great Scott, power's going out of me. I need to stop this. Ah! And he's trying to fight and he's stopped this power from flowing out. No, somebody's trying to take a healing. No. She had faith to be healed, but he wasn't trying to stop it from happening. And it didn't make him heal her. Jesus didn't turn around and say, I've got to do this because you've got faith. Even the paralytic, when they lowered him through the roof and interrupted Jesus' message, Jesus didn't say, oh, all right, have it your way, get healed. They weren't trying to force Jesus to do anything. They just knew healing was on him. And if we can get our friend to Jesus, he's going to be healed. Your faith doesn't make God do healing. God will not heal you because you think he has to heal you. God wants to heal you. Faith doesn't make God do anything. If God didn't want you and I healed, we'd never be healed. But God's already provided everything we'll ever need, including healing. And when we exercise our faith, we're reaching out and getting what he's already given. That's what the woman with the issue of blood did. She touched the hem of his garment because she knew, if I do this, I know I'll be well. She wasn't thinking, man, if I touch the hem of his garment, he has to pray for me. The guys with the paralytic, they were thinking to themselves, we don't know what's going to happen. We're just going to get him to Jesus because we know he's going to be healed. Some people act as if like faith is a force that you can use to manipulate God. You can't do that. Faith is a force. Faith changes things. But you can't use it to manipulate. If God didn't want to do something, he wouldn't do it. But God's already chosen what he wants to do. And with regard to healing, his choice is clear. It's yes, amen, when he promises healing. And every need you will ever encounter, whether it's a need for healing or whether it's a financial need or any other need, has already been provided from the foundation of the world. He's not going to look at you and go, oh, wow. You need healing for, what was that condition? What did they say you've got? I never even heard of that. I better make something up here. No. Every need we will ever encounter has already been met in Christ, and it was met from the foundation of the world. Is that right? And so we're not trying to manipulate God when we exercise our faith. We're just exercising our faith to take what he's already given us, hey? Faith, there's another point I want to make about the nature of faith and how it works. Faith is an action, but it's not a work. And there's an important distinction, and I want to go into that. Faith is an action. You need to act on what you believe. The woman with the issue of blood, she believed that if she could touch the hem of his garment, she'd be made well. And so she acted. You know, by law, she was not permitted to go out in public. There were strict laws forbidding people that had problems with bleeding and or those sorts of things. They were forbidden from being in public. And they had to notify people around them if they were having those sorts of issues. That must have been hugely embarrassing. But she wasn't thinking about any of that. She just heard that Jesus was in town. And she just thought, that's it. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. See, faith is an action. You have to act on what you believe. Even the paralytic. His friends came to him and they must have been really excited. They said, hey, we heard this guy Jesus is in town. Man, you know, Frankie, if we take you to Jesus, we know something's going to happen, hey? What do you reckon? Now, Frankie could have chosen, like, oh, look, guys, I'm just in so much pain. You know, you guys move me. I mean, the roads, they're not even sealed from here to town. Oh, I don't know if I, you know, like, last time I went into town, it took me days to recover. Guys, I think I'm just going to sit this one out. Hey, you guys go. If he did that, we never would have read the story. Because faith is an action. Faith requires action on your part. He had to choose to believe what his friends were saying. They were saying, man, Frankie, we know, come on. This is it. This guy's raised the dead even. If we can get you there. He must have looked at them and thought, you reckon? And they go, oh, mate, it's happening. This is your day, mate. Let's do it. Put him in the back of the station wagon. Off they went. They are charged up, fully amped, thinking, this is it, man. We're going to see our mate walking. They get there and there's such a crowd, they can't even get near the door. And no one's moving. They've got the stretcher and they're trying to push their way. Excuse me, stretcher coming through. No one's moving. I'm not moving, man. I've been here since 9 a.m. This is my spot. You find your own spot. No one's moving. They can't get through. But see, faith requires action. Yeah. Just keep swimming. And so if they couldn't get in through the door, they go, oh. Some of them are probably thinking, oh, no, now what? I'm sure one of them said, hey, no one's on the roof. And they look at Frankie, and Frankie's going, you think of what I'm thinking? And they're going, where, let's go. I don't know where they got the shovels from, but up they went and they dug through and got Frankie down into that room. Faith, if you believe something, you will act on what you believe. Hey, if you believe that God's your healer, there's a way to put that into action in your life. You need to look for ways to act on what you believe. I remember, and I've shared this testimony, I haven't shared it at the testimony in Tuckernite, but like probably about 2 years ago, I began to get calcific tendonitis on my left shoulder. And it's a fancy word that's calcium deposits on your shoulder under the muscle, and it becomes quite painful. It starts to restrict movement in your arm, and so I started getting restricted. I couldn't lift my arm higher than that. I couldn't take it behind my back. I could only do that. And it gradually was getting worse and worse. It would hurt when I moved it. And I began to use my faith and stand against this thing, but this thing kept getting worse and worse. And soon it was just hurting all day and all night. I wouldn't have to move it. I was just constantly in pain. It had been probably about 8 months. And I'd looked up, you know, and had a look at some of the symptoms for this thing. And they reckon that it takes... for some people will never recover from it, but some people may recover in 5 to 10 years' time, that you can get surgery, but it'll actually It'll actually stop you from being able to use your arm at all for a minimum of 6 months. You can get like a cortisone injection. They're hugely painful, but that'll stop the pain for about 6 months. It won't cure anything, but it'll just stop the pain for a little while. So it didn't look very promising in terms of the medical, but I was thinking, I've been standing 8 months against this thing. I must be missing something. Something's going on. So I began to seek God. Lord, what's going on here? What am I missing? There's nothing wrong with you asking God that, is there? The thing that a lot of people do instead of doing that is they'll go, God, why haven't you healed me? There's something wrong with that. Because now you've put yourself as I'm right, you're wrong. You need to be convinced in your heart that God wants you well more than you ever want to be well. You need to be convinced of that. God, if it was up to, and I've said this a number of times, if it was purely up to God, if he had his way 100%, none of us would ever be sick. You think about that. That's the heart of Jesus in his ministry. Did he ever tell someone to wait? Did he ever tell someone this is not your time? Did he ever tell someone, come and see me in 5 months' time. There's things that my Father's trying to teach you in this. Once you've learned that, come and see me, we'll talk, No. So I said, God, I must be missing something. I can't see what I'm missing. So I just began to pray in the Spirit and he began to talk to me. Hey, it didn't happen straight away. There was a number of days that I actually just prayed in the Spirit at different times, just seeking God. God, I just know that you're right. And I know that it's right here. But I'm not sure. What's happening here? Why isn't this manifesting? And he spoke to me and he encouraged me. He said, you know that it's my will to heal you. He said, you've done well in that. He said, you're not waiting for me to do something. He said, I commend you for that. He said, you understand your authority and you've been exercising your authority. He said, well done. That's good. And I said, so that's what I'm doing right. What am I doing wrong? Where am I going wrong? And he said, you've started to make room for this in your life. You're not acting on what you believe. And I realized that because this thing was hurting me so much, I didn't want to move it. And I stopped moving. I stopped doing things with it. And I was making room for this thing to be in my life. I was compensating for the thing. I thought, that's it. I see it. So I started doing push-ups. I started doing everything that I could. Just, no way, I'm not having you. And that was hard. That wasn't easy because this thing was hurting. But I must have done it, I don't know. I think it was only a process of a day. I don't believe it was more than a day, but just right through the day. Anytime I thought of my I just, God, I just thank you. I'm free. I got no problems with this at all. And everything I was doing was hurting like crazy while I was doing that. But by the end of the day, I had complete freedom of movement. And I could put my arm behind my back. I could raise my arm. It was just completely free. Hey, and the pain had gone. See, faith is an action. The role of faith for healing is you need to find ways to act on what you believe. If you believe you're healed, then don't plan to be sick. Don't give it room in your life. I can't come to church. I'm not just got these symptoms. Guess what? You are planning to be sick. Yeah, I know I promised to take those people out. But I'm just sick as a dog. I just need it. No. Faith is an action. Act on what you believe. Now listen, don't try to act on something you don't believe. If you don't believe you're healed, don't try to act like you're healed. Start meditating on his word and allow that to take root in your life. Allow the picture of that to build in your imagination where you see it and you see it and it gets bigger and bigger and then you see, that's right. I'm a healed man. Healed man shouldn't be sitting here at home. Healed man needs to be up and walking. Healed man needs to be doing these things and begin to do the things that you believe that you're meant to do. But faith is an action. Some people say they believe they're healed, but they think like they're sick and they act like they're sick, and so they stay sick. If you're constantly making room for sickness, then sickness is going to move into your life, hey, and become a resident. So I started by saying faith is an action and it's not a work. So we've looked at how faith is an action. Let me talk about how faith is not a work. You can't earn your healing. Faith is not a work. It is an action. But you don't act in order to earn your healing. You act because you believe he's already given it to you. You act because you believe it's already yours. You act because you see yourself well and doing all the things that you were meant to do. And you act on that. Don't do it to prove something to God. It's become a work. And you start going down that track and you'll fall into an area called legalism. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she didn't go and touch the hem of his garment and say, yeah, that's right. I deserve it now. I got it. The friends of the paralytic or the paralytic himself, when they dug through and they came down, they weren't saying, that's it. Now you have to give us healing, hey, because we're here. It wasn't a work. It was an action. It was based on what they believed. How do you know if you're moving into works with regard to healing? These are some of the sentiments you'll either say with your mouth or you'll think in your mind if you're moving into works. You say things like, well, why aren't I healed yet? I pray every day. I read my Bible. I tithe. I don't swear. Well, most of the times I don't swear. I get to church. How come I'm not healed? Or you'll think things like, or you'll say things like, what more do I need to do to get healed? Can you see that thread of works that's in that? What more do I... So you're saying you've done what you need to do to earn that? What more do I need to do? How many more scriptures do I need to confess? If I confess anymore, my confessor will wear out. I remember early when Joy wasn't well. And we had determined we were going to believe God for it. And I thought, that's it. I've got to confess the word. Man, I turned into a machine gun. I was confessing the word. I was probably doing it like half an hour at a time, but there was probably not more than an hour or more before I'd go again for another half an hour and then have an hour break. And if she was getting sicker, so I increased it. An hour at a time. Have an hour break. And then she was still getting sicker, so I increased it. And like this was all in the month of December 2009. I remember it clearly. Towards the end of coming up to Christmas, she was just getting really ill. And I was getting more panicky. And I was like a machine. I was just confessing. What was I doing? I'd fallen into works. And I was in my thinking, because I'm seeing her get worse, I'm thinking, what more do I need to do? Do I need to stay up all night and confess? See, there's the danger. Faith is not a work. It's an action, but it's not a work. You don't do things to get healed. You do things because you believe you're healed. Another process of thought, a person that's falling into works with regard to healing, they'll say things like, well, how come that person got healed and I didn't? They hardly ever get to church. I don't think they even tithe. And you ask anybody around here, I'm the best Christian there is. There was a person that actually said that to their pastor, eh? We can't earn our healing, is that right? You can't earn it. And that really is a stink in the nostrils of God when you're trying to work for it, hey? Don't try to work for your healing, hey? If you turn faith into self-effort, you will fall into legalism, hey? Now listen, there's nothing wrong with coming to church, please. There's nothing wrong with tithing. There's nothing wrong with confessing the word. There's nothing wrong with reading the word. But you don't do those things in order to get healed. You do those things to soften your heart so you can receive what he's already given you. And that's where I was missing it back in December 2009. I'm thinking, come on, God. Isn't this working? Like, I'm thinking, I've got to get up to this level. But where am I? Am I back down here still? I can't confess anymore. There's great benefit in carrying out spiritual disciplines. Number one, it keeps your heart soft. And if your heart is hard, you will have great difficulty receiving healing or any other benefit that God has for you. But number two, the benefit of carrying out those spiritual disciplines is it keeps the enemy out of your life. You stop those spiritual disciplines, soon you'll be filling your life with other things. And soon a little bit of compromise comes here and a little bit of compromise there. And it's not like God's trying to punish you or anything like that. But soon, because of that lack of discipline in your life and the compromise, you're giving Satan legal foothold to enter in. Romans chapter 6 verse 16 says, "Don't you understand, whoever you yield yourselves as servants to obey, to that person you become a slave to obey." So we come to church and we read the word and we praise and we worship and we memorize scriptures and confess them in our lives and we learn the art of giving and the joy of giving and we do all of those things, not in order to get God to heal us, but to keep our hearts soft and keep the enemy out of our lives. That's why you do it. You're not earning points with God in doing all of those things. And we need to renew our mind in that. Do I hear an amen? You know, if faith is not a work, then we've got nothing to boast about. Is that right? And that's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says. It says, all of the provisions of the cross come by grace through faith. And he says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not through what you did that you get healed. It's through what Jesus did that the healing is yours. Hey, you don't earn it. You don't work for it. But you did. You did need to act on what you believed. You know, if Joy and I invited you, thinking about, you know, like people that boast, some people boast as if like they did something amazing when they exercised their faith. If Joy and I invited you over for tea and we cooked you a curry and some naan and some rice and we said, come on, help yourself. And if we did that and you dished yourself up some rice, nice hot bit of basmati rice, and the curry and a few naans just freshly cooked. You dish yourself up, you couldn't turn around to everybody and go, look what I have done. You got nothing to boast about. We provided that. Yes, you needed to do something. If you believe that was for you, we said, come on, help yourself. You had to go and dish it up. But you can't boast about that. If I said, hey, I've got $1 million for you to come and collect. If you believed that what I said was true, you would come to me. And if you never ever came, if you never acted on what you believed, you'd never receive it. But when you get that $1 million, you can't turn around and everybody go, look what I have done. No. Faith is not a work. We've got nothing to boast about, hey. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 27, it says, where then is boasting? And it says, it is excluded. By what law? The law of works? No. You can't work for it. It's excluded by the law of faith. You know, faith just takes what God has made, hey. God hasn't made it, you can't take it. The woman with the issue of blood, she just took what was already in Jesus. Her faith didn't make that, but her faith enabled her to receive it. The paralytic received his healing. Jesus didn't have to go, okay, now hang on a minute, I'm just going to search my hard drive inside. I'm looking for healing of paralysis. Healing of paralysis. Okay, that's musculoskeletal. Yep, open that file, go through. He wasn't trying to find some recipe, what he has to do to conjure up healing for this man. This man had faith. Jesus saw their faith and he just took what God already put on Jesus, the healing. Faith takes what God makes. And if that's true, then it takes all the pressure off receiving healing, doesn't it? Because you're not trying to convince God to give you something that you need. He's already given it. And faith just simply takes what God has already made, hey? These are the things we need to start renewing our mind about, hey? God wants healing to flow in our life, hey? I've certainly seen in my own life healing and ministering healing to myself. The success rate, the more I learn and grow and practice in this, the more proficient I become in it. If I went back 10 years ago, back to 2006, I probably had a success rate of about 5 or 6 out of 10 in terms of receiving healing. And that was pretty good. I was encouraged. But now I've got a success rate of greater than 90% in receiving healing for myself because I understand some things. There's more that I want to learn and more that I want to grow. But keep these things in your heart. Meditate on them. Let them grow in your life. Amen?